The Book of Psalms, Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Deacon Thomas Farr, and this is Issues Christian Men Talk. Brothers, we'd like to welcome you for listening in tonight. Hopefully, there were something to be said tonight that will encourage you, that will motivate you, that would help you to get through whatever you're going through, and that would draw you closer to God. Amen? As I said, we're doing a new format. We're doing a lot of new different things for 2021. But tonight we're going to be talking about, continue our conversation, about a man is known by what he pursues after. And tonight we're going to touch on godliness. I invited one of my brothers to come on, Deacon Lee, and we're going to talk a little bit about godliness. We're going to define some things. We're going to encourage some things. We're going to point you towards Scripture on what it means on godliness. Amen? And hopefully something today will be encouraging. Let me open with prayer, and then we're going to go right into some things here. Amen? Father God, thank you. First of all, let's say thank you. Father, we call them to you with hearts of gratitude, God. We thank you for what you've done in our lives in the past, what you're doing right now, and what you have planned for us, oh God. Father, today I lift up husbands, fathers, and sons, oh God. I lift up all those men, oh God, who stand in the gap, oh God. Father, today, encourage them. You know what they need. As fathers, their children, as husbands, dealing with their wives, mentoring their wives, washing them in the water of the word, loving them as Christ loved them, oh God. Help them. Help them, Holy Spirit, to fulfill the purpose and plan and directions you've given, oh God. Father, we thank you right now, God, for healing, oh God. We thank you, God, for those who've been healed over all kinds of diseases, from COVID to a common to a cold to a sniffle to a sneeze, God. We thank you for that healing also, God. Father, we ask, oh God, that you continue, oh God. Continue to encourage your church, and God, press your church, oh God. Stir up the spirit, oh God, in those who are called by your name, that today they would be the church in their communities and in their homes and start to manifest and evangelize and show themselves, to show the love of God into the hearts of people that souls might be saved. Father, we ask again, oh God, that you continue to watch over this nation, these families, God. You know, we know such a time as this, oh God, we know that you are in control and things happen. Nothing happens. Nothing happens as a surprise to you. There's a reason, there's a purpose, there's a plan that you made that only you know that we may not see. But God, we're going to stay faithful to you. We're going to stay faithful to your word. And we can continue to press in and study your word and to grow and mature to be the men of God you call us to be and you created us for. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Amen. Brother Deacon Anthony, can you hear me?
Praise God, bro. I can hear you.
Amen, amen. You sound good. You sound loud and clear, bro, loud and clear. Well, tonight, amen. Brothers, we want to talk about, again, our topic here, our broader topic is a man is known by what he pursues after. And tonight we want to talk about godliness. We want to talk about godliness. Now, these words that we use that are in the Bible, first of all, let me encourage you this, that we have to study and show ourselves approved. Scripture tells us that. And even before that, let me back up. If you have not come to faith in Jesus Christ, if you have not believed who Jesus said he was, if you haven't believed why Jesus was born, his birth, his life, his death, and the resurrection, and by faith that his death paid the price for your sins, and that you believe that you might be saved. And these are the things, these are the basics, because, again, we as men of God, you know, I have to always review the basics because we are called. If we don't have the basics down, how can we lead anyone? How can we lead in our homes? How can we lead in the community? How can we be the man that God has called us to be? Amen? So some of the basics of our faith is, do you believe Jesus? Do you believe Jesus? And that's, every man has to know, search his heart, and understand, do you really believe? Now what your pastor said, you know, we have all kinds of formats. We have center prayer. We have prayer benches. We have, what's the other thing, tarrying to the whatever. We have a lot of things that we do. But do you believe in your heart the word of God? Not because someone manipulates you, some soft music, some romantic music, turn the lights down, turn the lights up. I don't know, because I've seen a lot of things. But the question of today about your soul is, do you believe Jesus? Now, from there, what we're going to talk about tonight is about godliness. And when we talk about godliness, we got a lot of little definitions, a lot of different things we're going to discuss about it. But I'm going to come to my brother right now. And what I want to say is, you know, bro, we talk about godliness. We talk about what it means to be a Christian man and all these things. But we have to also be mindful that we have to be on purpose, and this is where it comes back to also. Let me say this about being discipled, being mentored, being being in a church, being a community, being part of a community of people, you know, and being so you can grow in the faith. But bro, I'm gonna come to you. I got questions. I got questions for you. I'm gonna see what you got. Amen. So, bro, when I say godliness, man, what comes to you? What comes to your memory? What comes to your spirit when we say godliness? And what are you thinking? What do you think when we think about when we say godliness? What do you say, sir?
Well, you know, the first thing that comes to mind for me is obedience. A lot of times we struggle being doers of the word, especially if we being, you know, are born again. And that's because, you know, when you get saved, you actually have to understand the gospel first, you know, in order to lead to repentance. Understanding what Jesus Christ has done for you on the cross, his death and burial, his birth, death, burial, and resurrection. You have to understand that first. And then after that, you know, there's the Holy Spirit resides within you at that point. And then from that, he begins to minister to you, and, you know, you need to find a place where you can actually get fed the word and taught the word and grow in faith. One of the biggest struggles is obedience, because once you hear the gospel, now you have to try to apply it to your life. But it's a lot of people, you know, that I've found, even myself, when I come to hear the gospel, the first thing is now I try to work it out myself without the Holy Spirit, or being separate from the works of faith versus the works in the natural. So it's a struggle with obedience. When I hear godliness, what I actually think about is, are you doing what the Word of God says for your life, being a believer? You know, have you denied yourself? Have you came to a point where you denied yourself and you want to no longer live the life that you have lived, but you want to live holy and acceptable to God? And that comes with a lot of obedience, and it's a struggle at first. Now, whenever I hear people say struggle, they're struggling with something, whether it be sins or things that they're just struggling with. Struggle really means fight. Are you fighting, you know, those urges and those things and those passions that Paul talks about that are within the human being? Are you fighting to live a holy life? Okay. Now, the thing is that will take a lot of self-denial, and it'll take a lot of denying and sacrificing the things that you love so dearly in the flesh to be pleasing to God. Okay. So, you know, when I hear godliness, and what I look for is for people to put aside the things that they really are passionate about as far as the flesh that they know are not pleasing to God, and, you know, condemning those things, because Jesus Christ paid it all on the cross. There isn't anything that Jesus Christ didn't pay for on the cross. And that comes with great study, and that comes with, you know, a person studying the word, you know, being in tune with the word, listening to, you know, the encouragement and the faith building of testimonies. And that's a lot of things that we have got away from a lot of times, is people don't share testimonies like they used to. It seems that, you know, a lot of times people are ashamed to say that have overcome certain things in their life because it's embarrassing or something. And I think, you know, us as believers and us being the church, we have got away from testimony. But we know in Revelation that it says that they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. So it's a lot of our testimonies that keeps us from going backwards to the things that it is that we know is not pleasing to God, because we have suffered some things along the way. But all of that actually brings us to a point of, you know, living out godliness because of repentance. If we're really passionate and sincere about what we used to be and we don't want to be that anymore, then what we do is turn away from those wicked ways, and now we want to pursue Christ. And the evidence will be manifested as we continue to be obedient, because the Holy Spirit is in us to lead us to and guide us in all truth. So when I actually observe a godliness or a godly man, you know, a person who, you know, wants to live out the things that God is saying, it takes a lot of self-denial. It takes a lot of obedience and reading and studying the word to know. That's the first part. You have to know what it is that you're being obedient to, because a lot of times you try to model who what godliness is, and now you're just doing things, and God isn't being glorified in any of it. He's looking for that person who is really sincere and has a heart to really serve him and wants to do his will. And at that point, when your heart changes and your mind changes, you begin to do the things that is pleasing to God, because you have really surrendered, or you've denied yourself, and you allowed the Holy Spirit to work through you. What do you think about that, bro?
Amen, sir. You know, I agree. Because what we're talking about, excuse me, Lord have mercy. Yes, you know, you're right. And it is about what we're pursuing and what we're growing in and going into the Word. I mean, to me, godliness, it means a lot. And it has that reverence of who God is and who Jesus is. And like you said, knowing what the gospel message is, knowing what Jesus has done for us, and knowing that the Holy Spirit is living within us, but now we're pursuing for the deeper understanding, to be more obedient. Because you're right, that repentance and obedience, that to me is one of the biggest things that takes you to the path to godliness. You know, and I think every man, all of us, you and I, we have to just continually to be able to every day look at ourselves, see where we are, see where we want to go. Are we pursuing it? And I think, you know, and also I want to encourage the brothers out there that pursuing it, righteousness and pursuing godliness and pursuing the things of God, it's not internal. It's internal and external. Because if we're doing it, like you say, if we're studying in prayer and we're seeking the word and seek to understand the word and seeking the application of the word, mm-hmm. things will start to manifest in our life differently, that people will see us outwardly living a life. I think that's the other thing I want to encourage the men out there. When people see that, because what we're talking about tonight is talking about we're known by what we're pursuing. Do people know that you're pursuing righteousness? You know, we have to all ask ourselves, do people know who we are? Do people know that you're pursuing? What are you pursuing to do? You know, we do a lot of things that we want to let people see, but do people see our faith in our lives? Are we pursuing, like you say, the righteousness? Are we pursuing obedience? Are we, like you said, with the testimony, you know? You know, sharing to, I understand exactly what you said about testimony, sir, but then you got to remember, too, our testimony sometimes is to remind us what God has done for us, because we forget.
Amen.
Because a lot of people, you know, we do testimony because we want to tell people about what God has done and how and whatever, but sometimes our testimony is to remind you where God brought you from, and so you don't go back there.
Yeah.
Or you're more thankful, you're more reverent, you have a greater love for God because you remind yourself of what you was doing and who you was before Him. So I think that's you know, when we talk about it, because you said that testimony, I was like, yeah, but we got to remember some of that testimony is to remind us who God is in our lives and where we are. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
But you know, even in the midst of that, I want to go, because as always, I want to go to Scripture. I'm going to get a brother some Scriptures. You could do some homework, do some deep dive, some search, some Bible study. But let's go real quick. I'm going to go real quick. But Second Peter 3. I'm going to start there. I'm going to start at the end, and we're going to move back to the front. We're going to do what we're going to go to. But I do want to go to Second Peter 3. And we're going to start at verse number 10. And this is Peter writing. And he's talking about, you know, the Lord coming back. And it says, "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with great noise and elements and melt with fervent heat. But the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up." That's it. That's revelation that Jesus is coming back. He's going to straighten everything out. But verse 11 says, "Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved," that means all the stuff you're working on, your side hustle, your entrepreneurship, all the things you're doing, your degrees, your whatever you're doing here on earth, will be dissolved. What matters of persons ought, what matter of persons ought you be in holy conduct and godliness? This is what Jesus will look for when he comes back. Holy conduct and godliness. Your reverence, your obedience, of how did you live out your Christian life?
Amen.
And I think we have to stop as men and think about that. God is not going to judge us on stuff. If you're a father, he's going to judge you. You know, you're going to be judged on how godly a father you were. A husband, were you a godly husband? Were you a faithful husband? Even when your wife was out of her natural mind, what kind of husband was you? Because when you got a good wife, it's easy to be good to a good wife. I don't think that's biblical, but you know, it sounded good. But what kind of husband was you when your wife wasn't right? And husband, father, and who are you and who are you known? Again, are you known? What are you being known? Are you known to be pursuing the godliness? But, you know, that's what Jesus is going to do. And I think every man needs to understand and seek out the godliness and who you are, your conduct, your moral conduct. Because, you know, I'll say this. I'm going to come back to you, bro. But, you know, even on our jobs, our secular work, you know, everybody has to work. This is who we are. We're in the temple reign. We got to go job, make work. All that's fine, and that can be moral and correct. But that has nothing to do with what God has called us to do. You know, because some brothers, I've heard this before and other things. You know, some brothers, they think because they saved and they pay their bills on time and pay their rent and they're not blowing their money, they think that God, Jesus, is going to reward them for that. No. That's what you should do because of who you are and your responsibility, but that's not you pursuing godliness. Just because you go to work every day and bring your check home every day and pay all your bills every day and everything is okay in your house, that's not pursuing godliness for your soul. And what are you doing for God? And how is God using you to fulfill the Great Commission? Because, again, we'll stand before God and want to hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant," and that don't mean you paid the rent every day and you took care of your wife and family and fed them and all that stuff. That's not – we were created for more than that. That is the moral – what do I want to call it? The moral collateral of being a godly man, because you're obedient to what the Word says, who you're supposed to be as a husband, father, provider, priest in your home. But now God is going to judge what kind of Christian – how did you pursue to be godly, to be a godly man, to seek godliness in the things and how we live? And that's where I think we have to really search ourselves. I mean, you, us, Brother Deacon, me, we all – every day, seek what are we pursuing and how are we growing in our faith and moving toward godliness. You know, so but let me ask you this, bro. I mean, as you look back over it and you see some things and know some things and even in your own self, what are some of the marks you think of a godly man, a man who's pursuing godliness? Okay, what is his life? What is, you know, I'm asking broad strokes. What should we see in a man's life? Because we all, if we are truly our brother's keeper, what are we looking for?
The thing is, one of the things that I guess we could say from a believer's perspective on the expect that we put on individuals who become saved, a lot of times you get a lot of more judgment from, you know, I guess you could say the people of God than you would, you know, people that are not in your family, you could say. You know, because I think the thing is accountability. I mean, if you see, you know, a person going through certain hardships and certain struggles, what would be your response? You know, to a degree that, you know, where you want to grow, you see yourself growing, because you're denying a lot of things that you used to do. But what we look for in godliness a lot of times, especially in the church realm or in the church setting, et cetera, I think what we look for a lot of times is, you know, for the person to be patient. We look for patience. We look for long-suffering. We look for the fruits of the Spirit, because that's the only thing that we can look for from a person who believes is the fruits of the Spirit. How are the fruits of the Spirit working in your life? Are you long-suffering? Do you love, first of all? Are you loving your enemies? You know, do you gossip in the church? Do you are you still, you know, battling with something that, you know, you choose to serve that thing over God in a sense, where, excuse me, where, you know, especially for believers, and I mean, I know we're talking about men. We're talking about men. Us as men, we get stubborn sometimes, you know. We don't actually, you know, communicate as we should. There's people and individuals who may be struggling with so many things right now, but because they're not transparent and they want to kind of hide it, they'll continue to struggle with it then, because the enemy would have you to think that, you know, oh, you shouldn't share that with your brother because, you know, you should have been, you know, at this point in your life or at this stage in your life. And, you know, the enemy gets you to think that you have, you know, that you're supposed to be at a certain level in Christ and you shouldn't be stumbling over the same things. We really look for, you know, a person to be transparent so that we can pray and deal with the thing that they may be struggling with. And, you know, that comes with, you know, a lot of faithfulness in ministry. That comes with, you know, a thing where God would prick your heart in the things that you do struggle with, to be open about it, or to find someone, or to ask God to send someone in your life that you can communicate those things with, to where you don't feel ashamed and you don't feel like you have to hide things. And you have to understand that God's love is, you know, not just, you know, expressed from him, but it's also expressed through the church. And we have to be, you know, able to look at that thing and look at those individuals and not condemn them, or to, you know, talk about them, or to the point where they may feel comfortable to share things with us that they may be struggling with. And then we can pray for them and intercede and touch and agree. But, you know, the marks of a man who, you know, has a trail of holiness or godliness, you could say, is really modeling holiness and how, you know, the hunger is for righteousness and the thirst for righteousness and for Jesus Christ to be in your life to a degree where you don't worry as much as far as how the outward appearance of people may think about you, but it's mostly focusing inwardly. And, you know, the thing I used to say, and I mean, this may help some brothers. One of the things I'm constantly reminded of is, what is it that's in my life that's more important than Jesus Christ and what he's done for me? You know, that's a self-examination piece that I do daily. And it actually has been helping me to be content and to, you know, have a lot of reserve and self-control. Because whatever it is that I find myself serving more than Jesus Christ, that becomes my God, or that is my idol. It's what I'm putting before Christ, and I should be putting Christ before me. So it's a fight, it's a struggle, it's a thing where we have to be taught. And I know you was reading from Peter. I actually wanted to see if we could read from 2 Timothy chapter 3. And it says, and if you read 2 Timothy chapter 3, it talks about, you know, the last perilous times, et cetera. But it talks about, you know, the persecution and afflictions that Paul was going through. And here in verse 12, it says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So here we have an example of, I think a lot of times we don't want to go through the persecution of wanting to live right. You know, we don't want to reject our friends that's leading us in the wrong path. You know, a person may be struggling with something, let's say drinking, and then like, oh, okay, I want to go to the bar. But then, you know, in your heart, if you go to the bar, you'll be seduced by certain spirits in the bar. And the next thing you know, you're doing or acting out something that is ungodly. But you want to try to live a godly life, so you have to separate yourself from the things that may tempt you or the people who may lead you down the wrong path. And I think it's hard to let go sometimes. It's really a struggle to let go. Because, you know, it could be family members that you just can't be around because you know that what you're going to do is not pleasing to God. And that's the warfare. That's the warfare. So it's not so much a question of salvation. It's about godliness and what marks you want to leave behind so that God is pleased with you, because ultimately we will stand before Christ. We will stand before Christ, and he is. He's right. You're right. He is going to judge those things. He's going to look at us and our character. And if we deny ourselves and allow him to be glorified in our life instead of us, what do you think about that, Deke?
Amen, sir. You know, you touched on a lot of it. It is about us. It is about us and self-denial. It is about each brother, each one of us, looking at it. You know, you touched right on it. That godliness is the separation. Because what is it the scripture says that? I'm trying to think of what it is. But it says about contentment is godliness. Are we content? Are we content to live in obedience? Are we content to repent? Are we content to live in obedience to the word of God as we learn and mature and grow in the knowledge of the word of God? Because, again, you know, I talked about it earlier about our salvation. You know, a lot of folk, a lot of formats, sinner's prayers, a lot of different weird denominations and kind of church you, whatever. But the fact of the matter is, even on that given day, whatever, your spiritual birthday, people call all kinds of things, the day you came to Christ, the day you acknowledged Christ in that church, whatever, you know, but from that point forward, again, what are you pursuing? How are you living your life? Are you growing in the faith? Because that, again, godliness is a thing that you have to pursue and go after, just like we go after anything else. And as men, we have to say, what are we? Are you really pursuing it? Because I want to talk to some of the brothers out there who are you different from the day, from that day, that spiritual birthday? I'm called spiritual birthday for right now. But are you the same from that day to now? What are you pursuing? Are you pursuing godliness? And the word speaks about us pursuing the things of God, that God has given us everything we need. I'm trying to find the scripture real quick here. But, you know, he's given us everything we need to pursue, to live these lives. Holy, man, what was it? Is it Second Peter? Let's go real quick. Second Peter. Second Peter 1. You know, because I always want to give brothers, you can go to the deep dive. Second Peter 1, go to verse number 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, as his divine power has given us all the things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. He called us. He drew us. Now, are we pursuing those things? By which, verse number 4 says, by which have given us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these we may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is of the world through our lust. Like you were saying, we got to understand the lust and then get away from the lust.
Amen.
And it don't matter if the lust It don't matter if the lust is your mama, uncle, aunt, cousins, brothers, sisters. It is what it is. We all know, let me say it like this. Every man knows where he's come from. He knows his pedigree. He knows what his family is like. And if you come to Christ, you know they're not living for Christ. because that's where that's really the draw. We mean maybe your biological family, or where you grew up, or you grew up with some people and guys and community and neighborhood. But then in Christ Jesus, you're going to be drawn out of that, and you have to pursue godliness by turning your back on those things. And then let me say this for the brothers out there: lust. I'm not talking about no porn and all that. The lust is those things that the sins that your flesh calls out for that are not godly. You know, and growing, are we seeking and pursuing to grow in Christ and pursuing the godliness? Because it's a process. It's us submitting and surrendering to the Holy Spirit. It's us being in the Word, because it's the Word, because the Scriptures is the Scriptures are the answer. You want to know how to live as a godly man? You have to be in the Scriptures and studying them. You know, you have pastors, we have elders, we have teachers, we have all the folk that can help you understand the Word. We all have the story of heard the story. I couldn't read the King James. I didn't know what they was talking about. That's fine. You know what I say when I don't say it out because I don't want to call people out. But if I'm on a one-on-one, I say, you realize when you were a child, you didn't know how to read. The English you think you know how that you think you know now, you didn't know that, but you learned it because why? You learned how to read. You learned to understand. What they used to say, bro, your consonants, A, E, I, O, U, and your consonants and the phonics and all that. I'm sorry, I'm kind of old, but we learned. And the Word of God and the things of God is no different. Man, I just want to say that. Because are we growing and are we pursuing it? You know, we pursued high school diplomas, we pursued college, we pursued our trade, we pursued a lot, but are we taking that same passion, chasing, pursuing the things of God and pursuing godliness? That way we have a reverence and we have a respect for God and His Word and what God has done and what God really wants us to be. He wants us to be more than just, I know this is going to sound funny to some folk, depending on where you are, but He wants us to be more than just good husbands and fathers.
Amen.
He wants us to be more than that. That should be the collateral or the residue of us being godly men, godly believers. You see what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying, bro? What do you say, sir?
And see, you're right about that, because I was talking to my wife about that, because she asked one thing she asked me was, what should we be doing? You know, what is it that we should be doing? What did God task us to do? You know, and what is the purpose? What is it all for? What are we, you know, what are the fruits that we're supposed to bear? And how do we manifest them? And how do we apply the Word to our life? And so I was letting her know that, you know, that's actually through a lot of studying. And as you study more, you surrender more. You know, the more you learn about God, and it's really about what type of relationship you have with Jesus Christ. That's really what it boils down to. Because I was actually doing a study on the relationship status with God. And I was actually bringing into kind of like the natural, when we have people that we call friends, we have people that, you know, our relationships with our brothers and sisters, our relationship with our biological brothers and sisters, where does God fit into that type of relationship? Do you go to God just because you're going through something and you need Him to get you out of a jam? You know, what type of relationship is that? Like, you know, is it a thing where, you know, is He just a father? You know how we treat some father. And then some fathers treat children a certain way, but we get into that later. But the thing is that, you know, is He a relationship status as a father? Do I call Him when I need some money, or I need You to help me with this, and, you know, this is coming on. And then after I get what I need, now I don't communicate with You. I only call, or I'm only there when I need something. Or is it a relationship as a friend? Okay, a friend, we hang out sometime on Sunday, and then, you know, I go on back to my regular life. Or is He like a spouse? And see, here's the difference where, you know, the Word of God talks about we're the bride of Christ. The thing is that with a spouse, a lot of things you do out of love. It's not because you do it out of obligation. You know, it's a thing. Do you love Jesus Christ, and is that your ultimate relationship? What is your relationship status with him? Because, you know, that plays an important part on how we live for him. You know, I mean, I'm in a monogamous relationship. You know, I've given up a lot of things for, you know, my wife because I loved her so much. Let's just get down to the nitty-gritty. I gave up a lot of women. I'll tell you that. You know, I'm transparent because I know where God has brought me from. And the thing is that I don't have those things or those feelings like I used to because I love my wife so much. Because the love is there for my wife and for my spouse, a lot of things I just won't do. And it's like if we apply that same love for Jesus Christ and what he's done, our life will change. We won't do things. And we won't even do things because we know we're doing them. You know, it's not that, you know, a lot of times people make New Year's resolutions saying, okay, I'm going to work out this year. I'm going to do this. I'm going to get in shape. I'm going to quit smoking. I'm going to quit doing this. I'm going to quit doing that. And then they find themselves struggling and, you know, going back to that. Why? Because they're looking at calendar dates like, okay, I didn't do this and I didn't do that and I didn't do that. And that's a lot of the things that Jesus Christ was allowing the people to know around him, that you can't serve me if I'm not in there. Yeah, if you don't believe, except the man be born again, you can't see the kingdom of God. He let them know right there. It ain't because you did all of the commandments. It ain't because you did all of these. You know, because a lot of people like to scratch that off their list. Well, Lord, I didn't do this. And we know from Matthew chapter 7 that they're going to say to him, didn't I do this in your name? Didn't I do this in your name? And he's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. Why? Because your heart was never changed to love him, you know, and to love him because you're loving him out of your will. You're taking your will and changing it for his will. So it's no longer your will be done, but his will be done. And have we got to that point in our lives where that is a priority? Because, see, like you said, we do a lot of things. We do work. We go out. You know, we're amongst peers. We, you know, we hang out. But the ultimate thing is that who are we representing in all this doing that we're doing? You know, who are we representing? What is it all for? You know, and we have to come to a point in our lives. And, you know, I've used this before when I've taught. I've taught, you know, before, and I've always said, I remember, is that salvation, when you're saved, you're saved. So let's just say if you were running from something and you were seeking refuge, once you're saved and in the safety zone, why would you want to go back out, you know, and try to, you know, fix the problems that you were running away from? And then that's where that testimony builds up to a point where you, like, you can actually remember where God has brought you from. And now that you're in the safety zone with him, there's no reason to go back out there for anything else. You're saved. You're saved. Salvation, you saved me, Lord. Like, you know, your blood saved me. It saved me from destruction. It saved me from hell. It saved me from a lot of things that I know didn't please you. I am saved, not because of what I've done, but because of what he's done. So it's a lot that goes into that. And I think, you know, as far as men, and you know, like I said, it's a struggle sometimes, but a lot of people, they'll put a lot of things before God. You know, people put jobs and money before God because, especially in this pandemic, people get to worrying about their bills and everything, and then next thing you know, your faith is kind of weary. You've grown weary, and now you're stagnant or shaky in your faith, you know, and you don't feel like God is a provider as he used to be. But if we really look around and observe, God has always been preserving us. God has always been protecting and providing for us. And I think that's the reflection that we need because, see, our testimony will keep us from going back to what it is we used to be. And, you know, that's what I think about. I think about, you know, a lot of things is like, you know, I may question myself, is salvation really real to me? You know, how much do I value that, and how much is that a priority for us to live a certain way so that we can actually encourage somebody else to come know who Jesus Christ is? You know, but if they see us modeling the things of the world, or they see us modeling themselves, they don't see a need to get saved. They feel like, okay, well, you already saved just because you know about God. But see, the word of God says that even the devil knows who God is and trembles. That don't mean he serves him. You know, so believing, it's not just to believe, you know, like, okay, I have it on my mind, but it's a thing where it has to filter down into your heart. And it filters down to your heart to say, you know what, Lord, I really am tired of the life that I've lived, and I'm tired of the results that I've been getting. I want to change. I want to turn around. I want to make a turn. I want to take a chance and step out on faith, and I want to be able to deny myself so that I can be pleasing to you. What do you think about that, Deke?
Yes, sir. You know, I agree with what you're saying, and that's what the godliness is. It's we have to see it as you're right. We have to see it as this is what God has called us to be and to do, and why He created us to be pleasing to Him, to be used by Him. And that godliness thing it's for every man. That's the thing too. We got to understand. It's not about our pastors and the elders of the church. That's a whole other discussion. The responsibilities within the corporate body, but it's something that we are all called to. The Christian, we are all called. It's not for like you're not like a super saint or something. We're all called to godliness. We have this a privilege. It's a right. It's who we are. It's why Christ died, that we are called to train ourselves up to be godly. We're called to study and practice godliness and apply the scripture as we understand the scripture, as we study the scripture, to our lives, and pursue it. Pursue the understanding. Pursue the things of God that we can do it, and it's not about being, you know, because I know in this age we are with the church now, there's a lot of talented people and people who are, what's the word I want to use, charismatic and this, but that to me, sometimes that discourages some folk, because you can be you. You can be the ordinary you. Remember, I said this before, let's look at the 12 that Jesus picked. Go back to the Gospels.
Amen.
And look at the 12.
Amen.
I didn't see no archbishops. I didn't see no grandsons of the bishop and the archbishop's nephews and that. You don't see none of them. Okay, we saw them. They were called the Pharisees, Sadducees, and the priests of the temple. It was them guys. And who did Jesus come and use?
Amen.
And still with his Holy Spirit in to take the gospel and spread the gospel, because today we stand here today and know the gospel of Jesus Christ and why, again, his birth, death, and resurrection, because of those 12 guys. Not because of the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the priests, the high priests, and all those guys. It wasn't them. So let not when we're talking about godliness and as we move forward here, it's just Christian men talk about some other things. We're talking about us, bruh. We're brethren, men, brothers.
Amen.
You, whoever's listening, wherever you are, we're talking about who God created you for to do and be as his saint. Remember, we're all sinners in need of Savior. I don't care if it's your pastor, your bishop, your whatever you is, we're all going to stand before him. We may have different responsibilities, but God is giving you a purpose and a plan. You know, and sometimes we get caught up here in this temporal realm looking at popularity and success. We measure success in out of our flesh and pride, if we're honest, even us, ourselves, and then we look at other people and we envy and covet it, what they got, because we think they got it going on. Again, I got 2021. You're gonna hit all that, brother. But right now, I want to talk about godliness and being and pursuing godliness. Pursuing
Amen.
Godliness. That's the word that I wanted, and that's the word I want to play in every brother that's listening, who's going to get this link, who's going to listen to this. Go to your word. Go to the word of God. Look godliness. Look at the scriptures. Do the study. Do the word. Do the study. Do the scriptural study of godliness. Because look at who wrote about it. Peter, who denied Christ, cussed out. Paul, who hunted Christians down and killed them and persecuted them. You know, look at the two brothers. Look at them two brothers and what they said in their letters, trying to encourage others in godliness. So you know that God has a plan for us. And it's more, like I said, I want to say it, and maybe I'll stir something up in somebody. God saved you to be more than just a good husband and father and provider. He saved you for a kingdom. He saved you to minister. He saved you for the to fulfill the Great Commission. We slip past that because we're trying to act. We're trying to behave. You know what I mean? We want to look good and trying to behave, but we forget what we were called to do. We've been on a while, and my brain is, and a lot of stuff is starting to come. But, bro, that's why I got you there, because, you know, I can divert off you. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
But, in that, brothers that are listening, all the brothers that are listening, tonight, I just wanted to encourage you. I want you to think about it. I want to stir something up in you, that to seek godliness. And take your mind, take your focus off of whatever is distracting you from the things of God in your life. You know, and again, you know, but brother Deacon, he said it too. Sometimes, are you assured of your salvation? And it begins there. Is the assurance of your salvation? Do you understand the basics? Then the next, and then are you maturing? Do you understand the doctrine? Because if you understand the basics and then the doctrine, this is what we're talking about, godly. That's pursuing the knowledge and understanding of God, to pursue more, to pursue the study of Him, and to train yourself. Because you can only apply what you know. Think about it. Driver's license. You had to read the book, and then you had to take the test. Then you had to get behind the wheel and learn how to drive. Everybody who passed the test don't know how to drive. We know that. Parallel parking. Some of y'all still can't do it. But you got a license.
Got a license.
But again, I just wanted to, because even in the temple, we do it. We do my thing. I've been saved. I'm not boasting, but I've been saved since like the mid-90s, and I see that. How much more have you got done in your what I call your natural, your temporal life in the last 10 years? Compared to what you're doing from the day that you've given your life to Christ? Have you put the same passion, effort, whatever you want to call it, into those things of God to fulfill what Christ called us to be, the church?
Amen.
And, you know, we're early in 2021, but we're going to talk about the church and what we're supposed to be doing, and as we are the church. And what are we called to do? We can look back in church history. We can look what churches have done. But right now, what are we doing as being the church? What are you doing? And how are you leading your family to be the church? What's your ministry? I mean, my first pastor he taught this. You have a ministry. You have a ministry within the congregation, and you have your own ministry that God has called you to do and reach somebody. Because somebody's only going to hear the gospel from you. And they're only going to see Christ, and they're only going to see Christianity through you. But they watched you for the last 5 years do nothing different than what before you said you was going to church. Hmm. And that counts your wife and kids. I'm sorry. I did it again. It slips out, bro. It slips out. But, bro, I'm going to come to you, man, because, again, we're going to continue here. It's just Christian Miss Talk. And we're going to continue to do more, to have these discussions. Again, let me give my disclaimer, because I know my brother is transparent. You know, I've never done these shows and discussions from I got it all together, and I don't have struggles, challenges, and trials and testings in my life. And I know the brothers that we had these conversations with. But we do know that we can always do better. We can repent. We can ask God to forgive us, and then we press forward in those things. So I don't want anyone to think that we're coming and we're coming from a position of we got it all together. How come you ain't up here where I'm at? We not that. We don't do that. That's not what we do. But I do. Amen. But we do have to encourage one another. You know those scriptures that we use in men's ministry or used to, the iron sharpens iron, my brother's keeper. That's the word of God, and it means something that we are accountable and encourage and press into each other, and then move forward in the things of God that we can. Again, Jesus took them 12 brothers, them 12 guys, and look, because of those 12 guys that Jesus took, he was the only perfect man. First of all, he took 12 guys, and now we can talk about salvation. We can talk about being redeemed. We can talk about being forgiven for all the choices and sins and the things we've done. We can know what it means. So, again, brothers, I just want to encourage you now. This may be the time, this may be the year, something here, and then make you go start to pursue godliness. It's more than just. Maybe it's just more than just what you think you're supposed to be and that you call yourself a Christian man. And the only way you're going to know is through the Word. And so we want to always send you to the Word, to start to study your Word. I said the Word we're going to use for this show is godliness. I believe it's in the New Testament about 15, 20 times. Dive in. Take a deep dive and a deep study into it. On your personal thing, your personal devotion, a personal study time, because that's where God can speak to you. And you'd be surprised. I don't know if you experienced it myself. I studied something, and then all of a sudden somebody else started talking to me about stuff I've been studying.
Amen. Confirmation.
And it comes and gives me a clarification. I've been studying my own personal study, and then I'm sitting someplace, and somebody else says something about, I remember. And wait a minute, now that makes sense with the other thing, connecting the dots. Because, I'm with the public school, so I need help. Bro, I'm going to go back to you, man. I'm going to give you closing thoughts, closing the comments, and also, bro, I want to thank you for taking time out and being here and being a part of it and what you're doing. And let you know, bro, I love you, man, your family, everybody, thing is good. We're going to be fellowshipping soon. We're going to be face-to-face, heart-to-heart, hand-to-hand, arm-in-arm, whatever. We're going to do something. But anyway. What do you think, bro?
Amen.
So we talk about godliness, man. I let you have the last. You got the closing statement, comments, and wisdom. What do you say?
Well, what I would say is for anybody right now who's struggling with it, I would definitely say there is a turnaround. You know, God does allow those chances to turn our lives around and repent. And it's never too late to start today. You know, a lot of times we feel like, just like Peter sometimes, you know, we feel because we've done something wrong, we blew it. You know, there is no more chances. We feel like, you know, we haven't changed. There may be some people there and we're thinking because they've been trying to live holy and they've been trying to do the things that are right. And, you know, here come the temptation and they slip up. But I'm here to tell you that, you know, Jesus Christ died for sin. So there's always another chance. There's always another opportunity to get it right. And, you know, we don't have to feel like, you know, we're in bondage with anything, that God has actually just wrote us off. You know, he knows. He's long-suffering, patient. And the Word says that he's rich in mercy. So I will tell that person, whoever it may be, I don't know who I'm talking to. Could be myself, could be everybody, you know. But I do know that the Lord is a keeper. Jesus Christ loves us. And if we understand that part and we really get that deep down in our hearts, and you know, it'll show to other people, you know, who God has called us to be. And you know, to know that you've been forgiven is a great thing. You know, it's a feeling, it's a passion that you really can't describe, to know that you've been redeemed. And, you know, there is another chance, you know. And my heart goes out. I pray for those individuals. I thank you, Deke. You know, we always talk. I love you. I love your family. I pray for you and with you. You know, I know we're going to be, you know, see each other again soon. But, you know, I thank God for this opportunity to speak to whoever is listening. To be used by God. I never thought I'd be at this point, you know, just being transparent. I never thought I'd be at this point in my life, but I thank God that he did bring me to salvation, and he's glorified through everything. I don't take no credit, because I believe God can use whoever he wants and whatever he wants. I mean, if he used a donkey or a horse to speak to a man, I know he can use anybody he wants. So I don't take that for granted. I don't got it all together. And I know I have struggles that I pray that someone out there pray for me as well. So with that being said, did you want me to close out in prayer? Or?
Yes, sir, I do. I do. Hold on 1 minute. Ladies, brothers, again, this is Deacon Thomas Farr. You've been listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. Gentlemen, what we're doing again in 2020, we're doing pre-recorded shows. We're going to be, if you got that, you received this on your phone or your text, man, I encourage you. Also, on Saturday mornings at 10 a.m., we will be live. So if you want to join in, bring a topic, bring a conversation, share, encourage someone. Saturday mornings at 10 a.m., we will be live. You can call in at 646-668-2636. And that's Saturday mornings at 10 a.m., we'll be live. You can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. You can listen to this. If you get the link, I please encourage you to share the link with at least three other brothers. They might hear what you heard and may encourage them. Amen? Again, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. And also, that's archive where all our past shows have been. And, again, you can join us on Saturdays at 10 a.m. live. Also, you can reach out on us. We're on Facebook, Issues Christian Men's Talk. If you have a topic, this topic you want to discuss, you want to come on the show, pastors, elders, brothers, anybody want to come on the show and share and talk and have a conversation, just reach out to us on Facebook, let us know, and we can set something up for pastors and elders and those with schedules. We can do a pre-recorded something and then send it out to the brothers as an encouraging word, as a word to edify and encourage the men as they lead in their homes, as husbands, fathers, and sons. And, bro, again, I thank you, man, for taking time out. We're going to come back. We're going to do another one soon as the schedules permit, and we're going to come back and we're going to touch on some other stuff. Again, this has been Issues Christian Men's Talk, and we've been talking about a man is known by what he pursues after. And tonight, we were talking about godliness. Amen. Brother, you can pray us out, and again, I appreciate you, man. God bless.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Father God, in the precious name of Jesus, we thank you. Father, we thank you for your word tonight, Father. We pray that it fell on good ground, Father. Father, I thank you, Father, for keeping us, Father, for your healing power, Father God. Thank you for hearing and answering prayer. Forgive us for the things that we take for granted, Lord God. Forgive us for all of our sins, transgressions, Father, against you. Father, it's about you, Father. Help us to focus, Father. Help us to focus on godliness, Lord God. Help us, Father, to focus on what you've done for us, Father. Father, we know that we're not saved by works, Father. But we know that once we're saved, Father, that works will follow. So we ask you, Father, to lead, guide, and have your way in our hearts and in our minds, Father. Change us, Lord God. Whatever it is that we may be going through, or somebody who's listening, Father, whatever they're going through, I ask you right now, Father, to step in the situation, Lord God. Whoever it may be, whatever it may be, Lord God. Let you be glorified, Father, in all things. We thank you, Father God. We praise your name until we meet again. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless.